1974, he felt it necessary to conclude this monumental work with some concluding words. At the time when this book with 11 volumes was finished, the whole movement was in great excitement, because Prabhupada had made the decision to publish this book in such a short time that it was a marathon of translation. But more than his own marathon, he had requested his disciples to join him in the marathon. And that meant for the painters a marathon of painting. Some of the painters later said that Prabhupada requested them to paint and paint and paint. And then when they fell asleep next to the picture, which was half finished, they woke up in the morning and the picture was no longer there. Where is my picture? I have to finish my picture. And they were informed that it had already gone to the photo studio. Another devotee, while they were sleeping next to the picture, had come and finished the picture during their sacred rest. Now it was already transported to be photographed for the lithographic plates, which later became printed in his books. Everyone was in this blissful marathon to bring out that work, which is was the treasure of his own spiritual master. Prabhupada had said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to relish whenever he had a little free time reading this work, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, in the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time, in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna. This is the beginning of what we want to explain today. Srila Prabhupada had just finished in a marathon in which he pulled all of his BBT, in the BBT working disciples. He had finished this work, and he now felt it important to write some concluding words. This is how it starts. And now we should hear with utmost attention what is Prabhupada's message in the concluding words. He says, although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me. How is He present? By His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association. By Vani and by Vapu. Vani means words and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. Now, this is such an important point that Srila Prabhupada now wishes to give an example which is easily comprehensible both for his for the devotees as far as also the scholars who will read this book later. He says, the Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. We still, in other words, can associate with Lord Krishna by reading his words, his Vani. So in the same way, we can associate with the spiritual master by coming in contact with his Vani, his instruction, his recorded message. So after this, Prabhupada goes a little bit, introduces his reader, how he first met his spiritual master, and how he then received his instructions from the spiritual master. He tells us how he took this instruction very seriously, and he talks about the different obstacles which were there in trying to execute the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he thanks his disciples. I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradyumna Das Adhikari. And he mentions others, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jai Advaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing and publishing all these literatures. So then he goes into the concluding section of his concluding words and tells us how he personally experiences Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's presence. I think all of you have have noted that over the last years in our movement, Srila Prabhupada's position as the eminent central point of reference, of instruction, of inspiration, and even sometimes at the central spiritual master of ISKCON has been really, we have really tried to put Prabhupada in the center, and there are words, mottos like this, putting Prabhupada in the center and so on. And on his appearance day, we definitely wish to put him into the center of all of our lives. Prabhupada said how he did this in relationship with his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How to put the spiritual master in the center. He says, I think that his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. Then he says how he feels that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is still present. He preaches from the Bhagavatam, as it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tena Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. My dear devotees, if you want to put Prabhupada in the center of your life and be connected with Him, that then you need to really go in the heart and look for the spiritual inspiration which comes from Prabhupada. And you know how He said He would give inspiration to all of us and how He would be present. He said He would give inspiration to us and be present by His Vani, His instructions. I want to say the German branch of the Hare Krishna movement, the Swedish branch of the Hare Krishna movement, the English branch of the Hare Krishna movement doesn't read enough. We have to really, if we want to meet Prabhupada, take his Vani very, very serious, and we will meet him. We will meet him in the heart where he is still guiding us. I personally have a personal experience which is quite humorous, where Srila Prabhupada guided us in the heart. There was a time when we preached sometimes to 30,000 people a night. It was night after night after night. It was during the Gauranga Bhajan group tours. And in order to reach so many people, we felt we had to make an adjustment to the taste in our musical presentation. So we presented at the end what we called a mantra rock dance. And we took this motto from something which was done in San Francisco at the early days of our movement. We had, in other words, electrical instruments, synthesizers, and we just played the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in very dynamic melodies and a very, let me say, energetic presentation. It was really, very successful. It worked. We had a whole hall of 30,000 people dancing so much that some of them were so excited. Maharaj, in one evening, there were 25 people who just were too excited and collapsed, and they had to be carried out on stretchers because it was really, as we say in American English, cooking. It was really a lot of energetic presentation went into that because we wanted them to chant and dance. Since that, we had deities of Gaunitai on the altar, and we felt if they chanted and danced, they got the mercy of Gaunitai and they would become devotees. And many, 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 many people, maybe a few hundreds, became devotees from these presentations. But there was a doubt in us. The doubt was, would this be all right? If you see videos, and one day you will see videos of these evenings, you will not believe your eyes. There were tons of water flying on the people, flowers, balloons. We were in colorful dhotis. I was in red, like the Kala Chakra at the time of dissolution. It was really energetic. And Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was in blue. And it was really Bhaktivai Bhava Maharaj would make salto mortalis on the stage. It was really intense. And we were thinking, maybe we are overdoing it. Yes, Prabhupada had given us an instruction that he wanted. He said, I will show you how to present Krishna consciousness and in multicolored dhotis, and you will dance and you will give a cultural presentation. But we really, After all, we were from the 60s. We knew this music from before. And we were thinking what to do. So one night, we had just finished the program. We went to bed. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was no question of a night. 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I had a dream. At that time I was the master of ceremonies and the official dancer of the Gauranga Bhajan group. In the dream, it was just that moment before the program started. People were still coming in the hall. And my run man was absent, so I had to go personally to the exit and see how many people were still before. If it would be 3,000, we would wait, but if it would be only 2,000, we would start the programs already. And I decided, let's start immediately, and went back into the hall, and I saw, probably all of a sudden, a familiar figure. His head was raised like this, and he went with a cane, moving into the hall. And I noticed, as I came closer, Prabhupada wants to visit our program. He's walking into the hall. Oh no! I didn't know what to do. I had a walkie-talkie and I said to our leader and to the older devotees, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, Harikesh Maharaj. And I said, Prabhupada is coming into the program. What should we do? They said, we don't know, you are the you decide. So, and they all knew what it meant, what should we do, because we were in doubt about our last part of the program. We had heard that Prabhupada did not like so much the hippie culture, and this was music. Was really mode of goodness in its absence, the melodies, we went I didn't know, should I overtake Prabhupada and just or should I just pay my obeisances? So I could not decide. Prabhupada was still walking in front of me. Finally, I took all my courage. I overtook him, and I paid my dandavat pranam. And then when I rose, I said, Srila Prabhupada, we are extremely honored that you come and visit our program. Srila Prabhupada, first of all, I would like to give you the best sitting place, if you could kindly follow me. And while we are walking, I would really like to ask you a question, if you kindly permit me. Prabhupada looked at me. Speak your question. I said, Prabhupada, I was ushering him to the mixing board, which was in the midst of the hall, where you have the best, you hear the music the best, which comes from two towers of loudspeakers, and you can see, and you are in a protected area because there is a iron fence around it so that people don't destroy the machines. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, we have a very wild presentation at the end. We use Western instruments and dancing and we only chant Hare Krishna. But we do it to Prabhupada was impatient. He said, I know. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, you may not like this music. It is, and we want to only please you. We don't care for all these people. We want to please you. And he looked into my eyes and said, for preaching, you have to do what is necessary. And it was so deep, it came so deep from inside, that I thought it was almost his own motto. Preaching is the essence, and then there's another thing which says, you know, he adopted these four lines. Utility is the principle. Utility, what works, in other words. That is the principle. And then he looked at me very joyfully and said, "Do as you always do. I want to see it." and then I said, "Prabhupada, that's all, and here's your chair, and we will start a move." Immediately, I ran back. I said, "Do you know what Prabhupada said? He wants to see it. And he said, do as you always do. Now let us do it especially good." And all the devotees were very ecstatic, and we opened the curtain, and the program started with a nice bhajan of Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu and an arati ceremony and traditional dance. And when we came to that part in question, I remember we went wild like we never went before. And the people also. So good. So this connecting in the heart with Srila Prabhupada, you know, asking a question. Now our movement is old. You all have many questions. You have questions also to the movement itself. You have questions also to Srila Prabhupada. Would you still see the things today as you discussed them? All these and more questions, ask them to Prabhupada. Read the transcendental books and listen to his recorded messages. If you don't ask the questions, if you do not make contact with Srila Prabhupada in the heart, you will not get answers. And if you do not get answers to your questions, you will speculate and you will be miserable. We want to play today two lecture excerpts for you. It is Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's first is on eagerness, I understand, or is it, what is it, the deity installations, or? Yes. The first lecture excerpt is where Prabhupada talks on eagerness. He says there's only one price to obtain Krishna consciousness. That is our eager desire. He also makes the point in his lecture that Krishna is not poor, and the Krishna seller, the devotee, is not poor. He gives an analogy, in other words. We can obtain Krishna. Krishna can give himself, and the devotee can give Krishna. But there is a price. So the question is, are we poor or are we not poor? And that price is, can we pay this price? It's the price of eagerness. So we will hear this. It's a very short, it's a few minutes. So you have to really be concentrated from the first word to the end to get the point. It's only a few minutes.
So, smirang bhangitraya parichitang sachi distinna disne ma prikhishta sakhe yadi tama bandhu sanghe sthiranga. If you think that you will enjoy more your life in this material world, then you do not go there. Do not know. The idea is that if you want to see Krishna, then you will forget all this nonsense material in your life. That is seeing Krishna. Navam, Shamin Kitatosmi, Barangana Jyaji. My dear Lord, I don't want anything. Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj went to see Krishna to get the kingdom of his father. But when he saw Krishna, Vishnu, Vishnu offered, no, whatever benediction you want, you take. He said, Samim kikathosmi parangana jyachi. My dear Lord, I have no more any desire. That is Krishna. That if you want to see Krishna for some business, I shall see Krishna just like, of course, if you are eager to see Krishna, the motive may be different, but some or other, due to your eagerness, you will see Krishna. That is the only quality. Another poetry, Rupa Goswami say, Krishna bhakti rasabhavitamati kriyatam jadi tutopi lambhati. This is our, this Krishna consciousness, I have taken this from this word, Krishna bhakti rasabhavanamati. This is the actual translation in Sanskrit or Krishna bhakti rasabhavanamrita. So, Rupa Goswami advises that Krishna consciousness, if it is possible, please purchase. Don't delay. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavanamrita kriyatam. Purchasing. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavanamrita kriyatam jadi kutobi. When it is available, it is a very nice thing. Yes, it is available. You can purchase. The movement is going on. Now what is the price? Price is such a nice thing. You have to pay price. Yes, there is price. What is that? Tatra laulam ekamullam. Simply your eagerness. That is price. This price you have to pay. Then you get Krishna. Immediately. Krishna is not poor. And the Krishna seller, the Krishna devotee, he is also not poor. He can distribute Krishna free, and he's doing that. Simply you have to purchase by your eagerness. That is what. Tatra laulam. Now eagerness, I have got eagerness. It is not so easy. Tatra laulam ekamullam janma koti sukriti bhi na labhate. This eagerness cannot be achieved even by pious activities for millions of births. If you simply go on doing pious activities, because without being pious you cannot approach Krishna. So if you go on doing simply pious activities, janma koti bhi, sukriti bhi, sukriti means pious activities, simply pious, still this eagerness is not awakened. So this eagerness is very important thing. But it can be awakened by the association of devotees. Therefore, we are giving chance to everyone to invoke that eagerness. Then you will see God, right to us. That is not a big deal. Tat saddhana munayo. Those who have developed that eagerness, faith, that I must see Krishna in this life. This life is meant for seeing Krishna. It is not meant for becoming dogs and hogs. Unfortunately, the whole civilization is going on. They are being trained to become dogs and hogs. It is only an institution that is teaching people how to see Krishna. This is the only institution, this Krishna consciousness. It is so important. Tasadvadhanam unayo jnanavairagya yuktaya. By eagerness, automatically you will be enriched with knowledge and detachment. Knowledge does not mean now we have discovered this atomic bomb. That is not knowledge. What knowledge this is? People are dying. You have discovered something which will accelerate death. But we are giving some knowledge to stop death. That is Krishna consciousness. This is knowledge. Jnana vairagya. And as soon as you get this knowledge, automatically you become detached to all these nonsense material elements.
Let us summarize what Srila Prabhupada said. He said that he had coined or phrased the term Krishna consciousness from a shloka by Rupa Goswami, where Rupa Goswami says eagerness is the only price to get Krishna. And he, Prabhupada had said that in this verse, it is said that it's not such an easy commodity, this eagerness, but it can be gotten. Do you remember how you can get the eagerness? By association with those who have this eagerness in their heart. I believe when we hear such a lecture, we also begin to think about it, because Prabhupada sounds so absolutely convinced. Stop death! Stop death? Yes, stop death. We are the only movement who teaches this. Yes, that's a fact. This eagerness comes into your heart when you see someone who has this eagerness already in his heart. You cannot get it from any other source. It must be gotten from there. I would like to now give you an example. In the second little lecture, that's even more short, and we require even more concentration for it. In this lecture excerpt, Prabhupada really reveals his heart, and you can see there is so much of that eagerness, a wealth of eagerness to serve Krishna. It's I'm always a little hesitant to play this. Do you know when someone is very eager, what will happen with him? Is there some emotional transformation, maybe? Here is a mother, Nandi Mukhi. You have a child. Sagst du noch mal deinen Namen? Mira. Mira is it. When Mira was very small and she wanted something, what would she do? Would she just be, Nandi Mukhi, I want this? Or would she go, very determined to get, yes. That's one thing. I'm looking for something, but I know how it is when someone puts the spotlight on you. You forget everything. She would cry. I saw Mira stamping her feet on the ground when you were on the farm, and she wanted something, and little Mira was crying, and I remember I was going like, and she felt like electricity. You could not even pacify her. She wanted it. She was crying, and she wouldn't be pacified by anything. So here, Srila Prabhupada, it's a very tender moment. He will cry in his eagerness to serve Krishna. And I'm a little hesitant to play it in public, but you are all very nice devotees, and you can hear Prabhupada crying. Srila Prabhupada speaks this lecture, or gives this lecture, at a deity installation in Los Angeles, I believe, in... Yes, Shishi Radha Dvara Kadish. It's their deity installation. And he talks, first of all, about a philosophical point. If you want to come close to Krishna, you have to become spiritualized in your life. And he gives the example, if you want to actually enter fire, then you must become fire. Yes, someone said correctly. So he will start out with this philosophical point, and then he will turn to Krishna, and you will see that how Prabhupada wants to serve Lord Krishna. It's very moving, and it's very brief. So once again, I know we are all a little tired, but I can believe for 2 minutes we can really concentrate like anything. We will also make it a little louder so that it's easier to concentrate.
Without being purified, you cannot touch Radha Krishna. There in the Vedas, it is stated, without becoming Brahma, you cannot approach Brahma. Just like without becoming fire, you cannot approach fire. Because the inconsistency of temperature, it will burn. Just like here is fire, and I am feeling temperature. But the fire flames within the fire, they do not feel. Because the temperature is the same. Similarly, without becoming Brahma, without understanding oneself, realizing himself, nobody can. Krishna is the Param Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Purusham Shashvatam. Therefore, one has to keep himself very purified. Otherwise, you cannot touch Krishna. That is not possible. It is fire. So you have to become fire. And how to become fire? Fire, you are also fire. But now you are covered fire. Covered by this material body. Therefore, you have to spiritualize this body by purificatory process. The same example, just like the iron rod. It is iron, but you put into the fire, it becomes warm, warmer, warmer, then red hot, and then it is fire. Similarly, by these process, chanting process, by regulative process, it is, you are becoming warmer, 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 warmer. And when you fully become red hot warm, then your body is as good as Krishna's. So, we have to keep ourselves always in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Then everything is all right. Otherwise, it will become dull and it will be simply idol worship. Yes. That is the difference between idol worship and deity worship. If there is no life, then it is idol worship, hedonism. And when there is life, feeling, here is Krishna, here is Krishna. Oh, I have to serve Krishna, I have to dress him, I have to serve Radharani, she is here, I must do it very nicely. And as far as possible, decorate her to the best capacity. In this, if you always feel Krishna conscious, then you are fire. The same example, keeping with the fire. And if you think it is brass made dull, I am to say, idol. Jijathamang prabhadante tang sutaiva bhajam. If you think this is a brass made idol, then it will remain a brass made idol to you forever. But if you elevate yourself to higher platform of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna, this Krishna will talk with you. This Krishna will talk with you. There is a Vamsidas Bhavaji Maharaj. He was talking with his deity. Krishna, just like Madan Mohan, he was talking with Sanatana Goswami. Madan Mohan, Sanatana Goswami at that time had no temple. He was hanging his deity on the tree. So Madan Mohan was talking with him, Sanatana, you are bringing all these dry chapatis and it is stale and you don't give me even little salt. How can I eat? Sanatana Goswami says, sir, where shall I go? Whatever I get, I offer you. You kindly accept. I cannot move, old man.
So Krishna had to eat there. Because the bhakta is offering, he cannot refuse. Jīmāṁ bhaktyā prajacchati. The real thing is bhakti. What you can offer to Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. What you have got, what is your value? And what is the value of your things? There is nothing. Therefore, the real thing is bhaktya. The real thing is your feeling. Krishna, kindly take it. I have no qualification. I am most rotten, fallen. But I have brought this thing for you, please take. This will be accepted. Don't be papa. Always be careful. You are dealing with Krishna. That is my request. Thank you very much.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Let us summarize. Śrīla Prabhupāda in this section or lecture was talking about becoming warm, warmer, warmer until finally you are like fire to enter to approach Lord Krishna. He gave this example. What did he say? How do we become like fire? He had 2 points to offer. Do we remember one or two? Chanting was one. Yes, that was also a little later it came. Someone said regulative principles, regulative process. Yes, that he speaks about the regulative principles. These two processes Prabhupada mentioned, but obviously he wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the Nectar of Devotion, to elaborate on this and the process of Krishna consciousness further. Really requested all of us to be careful. We are dealing with Krishna. We should be mindful of that. Then he said also something about our attitude. When we understand Krishna is here, then Krishna will do what with us? He will reciprocate. He will even talk with us. Yes. Srila Prabhupada made that point and gave 2 examples, Vamsidas Babaji and Sanatan Goswami. Madan Mohan, the beloved deity of Sanatan Goswami, would talk about his meals with Sanatan Goswami. He wanted to have a particular improvement in his meals. What did he want? Salt. Correct. You are listening very, very attentively. There's a great, yes, wonderful, thank you so much that you're listening. And then Prabhupada went into his last point where he was overwhelmed with feeling because the bhakta is offering, God cannot refuse, Krishna cannot refuse. And then he said, here Krishna, I've brought this little thing for you. Please, you know, kindly accept it. I have no value. No, so I feel this represents a little bit Prabhupada's eagerness to serve, and I'm very much grateful that we could listen to these 2 lecture excerpts this morning on his sacred appearance day. My request to you is kindly. There are so many wonderful lectures like this. Today I contacted Kadamba Kanana Maharaj and he said, yes, there are so many lectures. He seems to have all the lectures with him on some technical device all in the thing. So that is good if you also take some lectures with you and listen to them and understand them, go through them. My recommendation is that sometimes it does help after you have listened to a lecture to read it again, to really think about the points and how Srila Prabhupada puts them together, what is his message. And there are books now out where all his lectures are written down, in Prabhupada's collected lectures. I think in our library we have them. I think I saw them there. But more than anything, read in Srila Prabhupada's books. I heard that Prabhupada had said that he put everything in the first canto because he was not so absolutely sure how the translation would be would progress. So there is a lot in just the first canto to read, and it does help to study again and read over and over again. But all this should bring us to the point that we are actually bringing Srila Prabhupada into our heart. That's where the mind is. The mind is where we think and feel and will. In this center, we should bring Prabhupada, in the center of our heart, so that we can think and feel and will spiritually. And that is real guidance, you know, where we do not accept any longer the guidance of our material mind, which is so often guiding us to desires for sense gratification and mental speculation. No, we put Srila Prabhupada there and his Vani, and then we are guided quickly back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Om Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, Pasyatya Desatarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I want to begin my talk by focusing on the extraordinary love that Srila Prabhupada displayed. Srila Prabhupada displayed such amazing levels of love of God, Krishna Prem. Even in just listening, we captured some glimpse of that. And Srila Prabhupada was so deeply inspired in that love for Krishna, that in one sense he was not of this world. In one sense, Srila Prabhupada was able to directly connect with Krishna in a way that nobody else could. And in that way, Prabhupada stood alone in a unique position, because no one around him had that intimacy with Krishna. There's a famous story where one journalist asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, "I've heard that the pure devotee always knows what Krishna wants. How does he know?" So one of the leading sannyasis present replied to the question, said, "The pure devotee knows because Krishna reveals whatever he needs to know within his heart." But Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "No, if I want to know what Krishna wants, I just ask him." And that was Prabhupada. He could just ask Krishna at any time. Krishna was practically at his command, just like we heard the offering of the bhakta, "I cannot refuse." If Prabhupada wanted to talk to Krishna, he could do it. Just like that. So just imagine where Srila Prabhupada was. It is stated, Vaisnavira Kriya Vigyana Bhujaya. that the realization of a Vaishnava is so great, one cannot understand where he is. So in one way, we're looking at Srila Prabhupada like beyond our comprehension. And oftentimes, we have looked at the symptoms of love of God in that manner, as something that is inconceivable. Sometimes it has been said, don't even try to speak of Krishna Prem, because Krishna Prem is so exalted, you will never be able to understand anything about it as long as you have the slightest trace of material contamination. But I beg to disagree, to use a good British expression. I beg to disagree, because the love for Krishna that Srila Prabhupada showed was not just only of that otherworldly nature, but the love that Srila Prabhupada showed was very different. Once Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, and in this lecture he was speaking on a verse of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the Chatur Sloki in the Gita. There are four verses in which the whole Gita is summarized. And this one particular verse was the verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti mata bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Prabhupada translated the verse, I am the origin of all these spiritual worlds, material worlds. The wise who knows this perfectly, Buddha, one who is Buddha, who is wise, who knows this perfectly, Buddha bhava samanvita bhava, worships me with love. With bhava. So, Srila Prabhupada began to comment on the verse. And he said, yes. He said, the wise naturally will worship with love. He says, and if you love Krishna, then automatically you love Krishna's creation. Automatically you love Krishna's energies. Just as when you love the body, you automatically love the finger. Yeah. So in this way, he also said, if you love India, then you will also love a part of India. No. In this way, if you love the whole, you automatically love the part. And therefore, if you love Krishna, then that love for Krishna extends also to Krishna's creation, to Krishna's living beings. Krishna is the father and well-wisher of all living beings. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, his love for Krishna did not just manifest on the plane of a great direct relationship with Krishna. Just like when he was in New Vrindavan, Prabhupada at one time pointed at a hill and said, look, Radha and Krishna. And everyone was looking. And I was like, you know, it's like looking at the hill and then looking at Prabhupada. Is he really seeing Radha and Krishna? And apparently he was. I was thinking, this is far out. This is amazing. Right? He's seeing Radha and Krishna on the hill. So, in this way, Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna was extraordinary. If I speak and think about this love that Srila Prabhupada had, and how I just explained how it extended also to human beings, then I'm thinking of especially the early devotees. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was alone in New York. He was just sometimes wandering alone in the streets, no following. But he carried on. And then he started his matchless gift storefront, and the first devotees were there. And if today we meet one of those first devotees, for example, Brahmananda Prabhu, if we meet him today, then we can see that when the time comes to speak about Prabhupada, he comes to life. It's like he sort of otherwise sort of half there, not fully, right? Sort of absent. But when it's time to speak about Prabhupada, Brahmananda comes alive and enlivened, and he just begins to speak, and it just streams out of his mouth, and he cannot stop. It's like, and just so much eagerness, and just remembering more and more with deep, deep emotion. And there is no doubt that he is every moment of his life living in these moments that were shared with Srila Prabhupada. Last year, we met Hari Suri Prabhu in a program in South Africa where we invited him, and who was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant for a long period of time, more than 1 year, I think close to 1.5 years. And so an evening was organized for the glorification of Srila Prabhupada. And the idea was that it would be a format of question and answers, and that there were a few different speakers, and that the devotees could ask questions to the different speakers and so on. And then at one point, a devotee asked a question to Hari Suri Prabhu, and he just went into some sort of trance, and the answer to the question was a 3-hour talk. And then his eyes, very bright, he said, "Are there any more questions?" Completely forgot. He forgot that there were other speakers, and the other speakers also forgot about speaking. Like Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was one. He said, "No, it's all right. I want to hear. I want to hear." And Hari Suri just went on and on. And it was 11 o'clock. And there was still a big prasadam feast waiting already since 9 o'clock. 8:30 it was there. And the cooks were walking up and down in the back. "What's going on? We've cooked all this prasadam." And Hari Suri said, so he got some hint, you know. So at 11 o'clock he says, "Shall we stop?" Right? So I'm sort of tactfully, I was the master of ceremony, so I sort of tactfully tried to sort of said, "Well, maybe, because the cooks have actually prepared a whole feast for the devotees and they are also hungry." He said, "Oh, well, in Chopati we sometimes go for 6 hours, right?" Anyway. And I didn't even tell you that during the afternoon I asked him a little question. You know, how did Srila Prabhupada deal with disciples who would sort of go astray? Right? And then I got also a 2.5-hour answer before the lecture. So, these devotees who were so close to Srila Prabhupada, they have been so deeply touched by his love, right? That they have melted. Right? They have melted. And it's just become, it's taken over everything. It's taken over their entire life. And it's just the source of inspiration in our life. When we look at Srila Prabhupada's later pastimes on the planet, then we see that he was surrounded by so many devotees. We see huge, huge quantities of devotees all the time. Prabhupada traveling from one place to another, and the crowds, just huge, huge. Prabhupada coming on a London yata yata, around him people everywhere trying to get close, crying in ecstasy, being so ecstatic. And Prabhupada sort of relating to everyone, but also surrounded by secretaries who sort of clear the way and it was more difficult to get so close to Srila Prabhupada. Some of his disciples never met him.
Never met him?
No, never met him. They were initiated by letter. Right? Their temple president recommended their name, and that was it. Some even didn't know that their temple president had recommended their name. And then one day they were called and said, Prabhupada has accepted you as his disciple.
Prabhupada accepted me as his disciple?
Yes. He sent your initiation letter. Here it is.
Oh, I'm initiated now.
Right? So, we think that every one of Prabhupada's disciples got so much association with Prabhupada, and they had such a, and therefore they are so fortunate. They are so fortunate that they had that personal touch with Prabhupada. And then we think, oh, alas, 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 we did not get. But I'm purposely telling that some were initiated by letter and even didn't even meet him in person. Yeah. But somehow or other were also his disciple. Although they didn't meet him in that way, still they were deeply touched by Srila Prabhupada. Deeply touched. Deeply touched, if I may identify two qualities. I mean, I don't know if I steal a few minutes extra in my time. What can I do? Two qualities I want to identify. When Srila Prabhupada first came to America, he didn't have anything, and somehow or other, this movement took off. And Prabhupada said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that all this happened. Huh? A total miracle. How could this have happened? I'm coming to America with a message. The Americans weren't waiting for it. No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat, no intoxication. That was not exactly what they were waiting for. And Prabhupada said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Huh? He said, sometimes I'm thinking, why did this miracle happen to me? He said, why not to others? I had so many godbrothers who were very qualified, some very learned and very, very qualified Vaishnavas. He said, if I'm thinking, why this thing happened to me, then the only thing I can think of is that I 100% followed the order of my spiritual master. So that was, that's my first point that I want to focus on, because I think it's not just that, well, today I chose these points. No, you will find out. The second point I've already introduced is Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary love, right? And his love for Krishna, which was incredible. Something that was so visible that even you can see it in the pictures. A little later, we will see some pictures of Srila Prabhupada, and just looking at the pictures, we can see that extraordinary love emanating. One can get it from the books, one can get it from the lectures, one can get it from the videos, one gets it from the Prabhupada memories, one can get it from the Prabhupada nectar, one can get it from anywhere where one can get it, because we should get whatever we can. Everything that's available to of Srila Prabhupada, you should have it. Not only am I carrying all Prabhupada's lectures, I'm carrying 20,000 pictures of Srila Prabhupada as well. And I'm carrying his videos. And I've got all the biographies in my computer. And the ones that aren't available on digital, I took photographs on them. And I put them on my hard drive along with some other books. Of course, we must have it. We must. We cannot miss out one drop. No way. So, and it's that extraordinary love that Srila Prabhupada displayed that not only touches our heart, but that is the very root, the main root of our faith. Yes, our faith cannot be based on one root. It must be broad. We must, like a tree, have many roots. But still, the main root is Srila Prabhupada. He is the living proof. If there's any doubt, one day when doubt comes, I one day came to a temple and the temple president was absent. I said, what? He's not here. He said, he went to the beach. I said, oh, well. I said, everyone needs to relax sometimes. They said, no, it's not like that. He went to the beach. I said, what do you mean, Dan? He said, he went 3 days ago and he still didn't come back. I said, really? Yes, they say, he's been sitting there now for 3 days looking at the ocean. I said, well, maybe I should go to the beach. So I was looking for an excuse. So I said, let's go to the beach. So I went to the beach and yes, our temple president was seated there. So I just sat next to him. I didn't say anything. I just sat quietly and looked with him at the ocean. After about 20 minutes, I said to him, nice view, isn't it? Anyway, eventually we started talking. And then it all came out, you know, he got hit by the big doubt from how do I know that it's all true? How do I know that Krishna exists? So, like that, staring, 3 days already. Anyway, so, I explained to him eventually, you know, in the course of that for me, yes, I agreed with him. I agreed with him because I also don't see Radha and Krishna dancing on the hill. I don't. Right? And when I want to talk to them, there's no way. Right? I know that joke, you know, about the Pope wanting to make a call when he visited our temple in Vrindavan, and it was a red phone, and yes, he could use it, and it was only a local call. Right? In Rome, it was a long-distance call. Yes, I know that joke. Right? But I cannot call Krishna. I am always struggling to meet Krishna. Every day in my rounds, I'm trying to meet Krishna. I don't just try and chant these rounds, I'm trying to meet Krishna. And sometimes I think I catch a glimpse. Right? And sometimes even if I don't catch a glimpse of Krishna directly, I get a glimpse of his effulgence, and that's already wonderful. So these are inspirational moments, but I don't see Krishna just at will. To talk to him at will. But Prabhupada did. Is there any doubt? It's difficult to doubt Prabhupada, to doubt his Krishna consciousness. And the more you find out about Prabhupada, the more convincing it is. Prabhupada was real. Prabhupada was genuine. Prabhupada loved Krishna. Prabhupada saw Krishna. And because Prabhupada said, God is blue, he is blue. Simple as that. Therefore, Prabhupada is the living proof of Krishna consciousness, that it all works. Right? His love is there. And not only that, as he said, the secret to my success is that I 100% follow the order of my spiritual master. And therefore, we understand that Prabhupada is not only our inspiration, not only the source of our faith, but Prabhupada is also our anchor. whenever we are, we're doubting, like Sachinandan Maharaj and his band, you know, like in Red Dhoti and doing all kinds of wild things, doubting, then Prabhupada is the anchor. Prabhupada is sort of making it clear, yes or no, right? And therefore, I met a devotee recently who came to me and said, Prabhupada, I can't relate to Prabhupada. I go, you can't relate to Prabhupada. My blood pressure and everything, my heart, you know. He can't relate to Prabhupada. I go, why not? He said, I never met him. I go, we meet him. Yes, in everything that is left, everything he left. We meet him in his devotees, we meet him in his books, we meet him in his instructions and so on. In the pictures, I mentioned it. Maharaj mentioned it. We can meet Prabhupada today. But the essence of that meeting is what I said, is that we understand that Prabhupada made Krishna consciousness possible. Because Prabhupada was a human being. He was a human being. We are just beginning to learn that. We never thought of that before. Before, in the past of ISKCON, we thought, you have to be Krishna conscious. You have to prove it by chanting your rounds, you chant extra rounds, or by distributing a lot of books, or by opening many temples, by sleeping less, by eating less, by performing austerities, by doing dry fast, ekadasi. In this way, you can show your Krishna consciousness. But we never thought that being a human being had anything to do with it. But Prabhupada knew it all along. Right? He was such a human being because his love for Krishna extended to all of us. And Prabhupada, in this way, was so kind. He was strict, not changing the standard, but yet ready to adjust for an individual to sort of accommodate him, to sort of come along and fit in. This, of course, the adjustments cannot be made on the principles. Adjustments can be made on details, not on principles. Anyhow, conclusion, because it carries on now into a big lecture. Maharaj gave me 20 minutes.
No, that's all right.
And he, so Srila Prabhupada, his love, His love of God, his Krishna prema, is not just something ethereal. Because in one sense, the love for Krishna is not different from real loving dealings amongst human beings, or amongst all living beings. And in that way, Prabhupada based this movement on love. And that is what we are now slowly beginning to discover. This is the phase where we have come in our movement today, that we begin to realize the need for being human beings, the need for being kind, the need for bending, instead of like beating someone over the head with the club of Krishna consciousness as we used to do. So, and yet, it is an age, now it is an era of experiment. There was a time when ISKCON was an army and where one was simply following the orders of one's superior. And that's how this movement was organized. Now it is different. Now it is a time where we have returned to a more individual orientation. We are looking now at Krishna consciousness through our own human experience. good and bad. Good because now we can get more authentic. Bad because sometimes now we can drift away on the waves of our own feelings, our own thoughts, and go on the stream of our thoughts and maybe wind up somewhere a little bit off course, like a ship that's been taken away by a current. But in the midst of looking for a deeper human experience in Krishna consciousness, which is now the theme of ISKCON today, no longer the mission that just carries you. ISKCON was a machine. If you just stepped in, that machine would just swallow you up and you would just go through the process. My temple president called me into the office after 3 days and said, "You're going, would you like to go on Sankirtan?" It was at 5 a.m. I get, "Sankha what?" I didn't even know what it was, right? He said, "Oh, you'll like it. You get to travel. You want to go?" I guess so. It was clear that he wanted me to go. I guess so. He said, "Okay, hurry up. You're leaving in 5 minutes. Okay. I packed my bag. I got into the car. The car sped off and my mind was like a rubber band. In the machine. Where am I? Who am I? Surrender. But it was good also. We did things we would have never done. Then, finally, the times have changed. Here we are in this era. Everyone for himself, everyone has to figure out for himself what fits, what is right. Is this the right approach for me in Krishna consciousness? Is this the way I want to serve Krishna? All that now has become relevant. And in this particular era. But our saving grace, our anchor, as we are riding on the waves of our individual nature, right? Our anchor is Srila Prabhupada. He is the safe ground to which we always return. We trust him. Trust him for the person he was and for his teachings. And we know. Right? That there we'll find our answers. Sachinanda Maharaj encouraged us to look for answers. There we find the basis of our Krishna consciousness. That's where we return. Return to the safe connection with Krishna. Krishna Sambandha. So, no one can just think, well, I never met Prabhupada. I'm more inspired by my own guru and it's not that I can't get so close to Prabhupada. Get over it, Get off it, will ya? Right? As they say in Australia. Get off it, mate. Get off it. Get off the mental platform, right? Yeah. Dig deep. Dig right in there. That? I spent a year in Australia and part of me has become Australian. As it's not the accent, it's part of my identity has now become Australian. I like something about Australia. That they are doers, not mental. They go right to the core. So let us go, let us understand that every single devotee must dig deep in the great gift that Prabhupada gave. It is that where we will find our strength. Yes, the current leaders, we are adding inspiration where we can, insights where we can, but we too, get it only there. That's where we get it. Right? Everything goes through him. Even when we turn to the deities, when we get so devotional, we think of Prabhupada and think, well, maybe I'm going overboard now. Right? Every time, when we are not devotional enough, we think, I don't have enough devotion. Prabhupada is the balancing factor in our life. Therefore, everyone should please take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada as much as we can with great eagerness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.